Let's talk about Tom Brady, and we were just opening up the show talking about it. What do you think we see from Tom Brady in terms of hand gear today? We're going to see a glove? We're going to see a brace? What's it going to look like?
I'm going to guess a red glove because I think he wants to protect the cut, the stitches. And obviously when you go with a red glove, you won't have your little Curt Schilling or the natural moment where we can see blood starting to seep through anything that's white or gray. And, you know, I just think that's probably the safer way to go because you don't want this, you know, all these reports that it was gushing blood. You don't want the stitches ripped out and him having to go to the sideline. And it's a little extra protection. And then the glove could hold some sort of, you know, gauze and padding in place. And because I am interested to see, you know, a quarterback's hands get hit. You know, there's helmets around. And, you know, you listen to a guy like Bart Scott, a defensive player, and I sort of agree with him. I know Patriots fans probably pissed off, but if I'm walking by Tom Brady, I'm not afraid to throw a little slap at his hand or punch his hand. You know, just try to hit the hand. See if you can make him uncomfortable. So I think the extra protection you could get from a little padding under a glove, I know he doesn't love the glove idea, but I think it just makes sense today.
Yeah, that's a good point you raised, actually, because when you look at Jacksonville, they are masters of the strip sack here, and you would think when they're running by Brady, they're going to slap at that hand to see if they can just get the ball out. So, I mean, I think that's a really good point that you raise. We're so focused on him being able to throw the ball. What are the ball security ramifications for Brady with this injury?
Right, and you can target a hand as a pass rusher. Now, it's hard because obviously it's a moving target that's not all that big, but, you know, if he had an injury up around the head or if he has an injury around the knee or the ankle, you can't really target that because you're not, in general, allowed to hit quarterbacks there. If you hit a guy in the hand late or as the hand comes down or whatever, I find it hard to believe you're going to get, you know, a 15-yard penalty. So, I think the handling of the football, is he going to be under center? Will most of this game be played out of the shotgun? You know, how does he grip the ball to hand it off? You know, we've seen guys in the past where they do that reverse handoff thing where they're only doing handoffs with the left hand because they have a right hand injury. All those sort of ball mechanics issues, I think we're all going to be watching early on, as much as can he squeeze the football and actually complete passes down the field, which is another whole area to be concerned with.
We're talking with Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, I think that as you look at this game and you talk about Jacksonville, we know that their strength is on defense, but I've heard from a lot of different places this week there are vulnerabilities within that defense. Where do you think they are?
Well, I think you can take advantage of their aggressive style of play. You know, I think you can screen them. You know, I think that those pass rushers and those linebackers, they have great speed at linebacker. But some of the backs have had success against them recently. You look at LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, some of those guys. So I think the backs game today benefits the Patriots because I think there could be some room to work there. Plus, you can get the ball out of Tom Brady's hands and have those short passes. We've obviously also seen down the field. Teams have made plays down the field on them. It's not just, you know, a Hall of Famer like Antonio Brown on fourth down making plays down the field. Late in that Seattle game, they were just letting guys run by them. And, you know, I think some of it is their aggressive style of play. That, to me, is something, that's why they're great, is they are young, fast, aggressive athletes on defense. But sometimes I think misdirection and things, play action, different ways where you try to get their eyes in one step in one direction and go the other direction can be taken advantage of. And I think they're going to be frothing at the mouth because they, you know, they're playing the disrespect card. And I think Jalen Ramsey and those guys are super confident, but they're also super prepared to show that they are legit contenders, and sometimes you can take advantage of that. So I think those are the areas. You know, those linebackers, the screen game, the short passing game, Danny Amendola. I don't see anybody they have for an answer for Danny Amendola. Colvin, that number three corner. You know, everybody's talking about Bouye and Ramsey, what they're going to do, move Ramsey where. Who's going to cover Danny Amendola, who's coming off a game where he caught 11 passes last week and is a quick, short throw, Tom Brady confidence guy? I think there's some room to be had there, and that's why I'm not afraid of going gun with Brady, spread him out, and throwing the ball.
On the other side of the football, Andy, when you look at Blake Bortles, are you a believer in him? Do you think that he is somebody who can put points on the board? The Jacksonville offense was fifth in the NFL in points per game this year, but they got a lot of points off takeaways, and they got defensive touchdowns as well, including the playoffs, 8 defensive touchdowns. Do you believe in Blake Bortles?
I do not. I had the misfortune of I actually watched that Bills-Jags playoff game that set the sport back a couple decades. You know, and Tony Romo was making excuse for him that, oh, there's a 4-mile-an-hour wind, and, you know, God forbid he have to throw in 4-mile-an-hour winds in northern Florida. Blake Bortles has talent. Don't get me wrong. It's what we always talk about. If you reach the NFL, if you're a quarterback, you have a ton of talent. But can you do it consistently? No. Has he been better with his legs than his arm late this year? Yes. Is there always the chance that this is his day and he hits a couple passes? I mean, this is a league where Tim Tebow threw a ball to a crossing Demaryius Thomas. He goes 80, game over. You move on in the postseason. So guys can make freak plays. The only thing is, I don't think the Patriots are going to let that happen. I think they're a pretty good defense. Pass defense has had its ups and downs. They've given up some big plays. But more often than not this year, they've used the old, you know, we're going to make you go 12 plays. And can Blake Bortles goes 12 plays 3, 4, 5 times to match whatever Tom Brady's doing? No, I don't think he can. They'll have that controlled pass rush. They'll probably spy him a little bit. Not going to let him run for 15 yards and point out blockers in front of him as he gallops down the field. And then can he make intermediate throws with regularity? My guess is no.
Andy, when it comes to the head coaching on the other sideline today with Doug Marrone, what do you make of him as a head coach? And do you think this is the type of team that will come to Foxborough and play afraid or make dumb mistakes? Do they strike you as that type of team?
They may make some dumb mistakes. I don't think they're going to be afraid, and I don't think he'll be afraid to be aggressive. He's been aggressive all year, going for it on fourth down and misdirection plays, sort of gadget plays, fake punts, different things, and I think you'll see that today. I think the Patriots will be prepared for it. Bill talked about it all week, so I think they've prepared for it. But, no, I think Marrone will do those types of things. The question is, with the game on the line, is his game management? Can he make the right decisions? He's funny because I sort of look at him as this big, doofy, Mike Tice, don't respect him kind of guy. But it's hard to disrespect what he's done. I mean, he's gotten the Jacksonville Jaguars to the AFC title game. He had a winning record in Buffalo, which not too many people have been able to accomplish. He's gained the respect of Bill Belichick along the way as an assistant coach. So while my gut, knee-jerk reaction is to sort of laugh off Doug Marrone as another guy who's not capable of coming to Gillette and getting the job done for his team, his track record is relatively good, and I do like that he's going to be aggressive because I'll be stunned if he isn't. Now, if he does that, if suddenly he becomes conservative Doug Marrone, then my knee-jerk reaction was right. He's a terrible coach. But I think he needs to come in here, play the way they play, and that's, you know, the somewhat conservative style where, you know, he always says he'd like to, you know, not throw a single pass to win an NFL game. He should be the head coach at Navy. But he's a guy that if you get to fourth down, he's going to go for it. If you get in that situation, and I like that, and I think he has to do that today, and I think his players will back him up on that.
Andy, how concerned are you about the Jaguars' running game? I mean, obviously, that was what turned the game against the Steelers. They just came out and ran the football, and the Steelers couldn't do anything about it. The Patriots have had their issues throughout the course of the season stopping the run. However, it's kind of hard for me to believe that somebody's just going to come in here and run all over a Bill Belichick team, that they're not going to fix that schematically, even if they don't have the talent they'd like to have to stop the run.
Now, I think that Leonard Fournette is a better player than Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry is a bruising back. He's a big back. That's what he is. I think Leonard Fournette brings more to the table than that. But I also do think he's still a big back. He's not a slasher and a cutter. He's not Deion Lewis. And more often than not, bigger backs are the backs that Patriots have had success with. Derrick Henry, Bilal Powell to close out the season when they've been dominant. And I'm also wondering how healthy he's going to be. He had a great first half against the Steelers. Wasn't as good in the second half. The yards per carry was down around 2 per carry. Got in the end zone, did what he needed to do. But is he at a health level where he can carry this offense and carry it, you know, 27 times today for 150 yards? And you're like, wow, that's a career performance. That helped them control the game. I almost wonder if they might have to turn to TJ Yeldon, who I think is more of a type of back that could give the Patriots problems. He can catch the ball. He can hit you on the edge, which has been the Patriots' biggest weakness this year. You're not just going to line up and pound it at this Patriots' run defense. They're not going to let that happen. So I'm interested to see what Leonard Fournette health-wise brings to the field today. And then if he's getting bogged down, you know, you look back at the Bills game. It was another game where he was 2-point-something per carry. If he's having one of those days in the first quarter, I think that's where they need to adjust, and it might become a TJ Yeldon game. And then how do the Patriots adjust to that adjustment?
Andy, appreciate the time as always. Good to talk to you.
See you, boys.
Bye. Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly with us on Patriots Preview. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.